Thank you so much. You may be seated. These introductions scare me to death. I feel like Little Willie. That if you had $10 in one pocket and $5 in another, what would you have? He said, I'd have somebody else's pants on. I thank God for being in the California District. It's always a great pleasure and a very delightful experience. And what a meeting here tonight. If you don't feel anything from this meeting, you're twice dead, plucked up by the roots. Praise God. There's something very special in this meeting. Would to God we could pull back the curtain and let you see what's in the atmosphere. We Pentecostal people, we worship the Lord in the beauty of holiness, but we don't understand the very power of God that moves to the area of that worship. It really is here tonight. You should leave this place if you have any need for healing with a healed body. You believe that? And when you come into an apostolic arena to enjoy the presence of the Lord, you should come and check your cares at the door. If you want to pick them up when you leave, that's all right. But come in here carefree and worship the Lord in the beauty of holiness. And I thank God for all the officials of the United Pentecostal Church. I think we ought to have Brother Keyes and his wife stand up and give them a hand. Brother Keyes? This conference grandly. You may be seated, and their hospitality and their kindness has been wonderful to receive and feel. And of course, you've remarked about the beauty of this building. I did preach in the building before it was done as beautifully as it is now. And it was then a commodious place to worship God. And the blessing of the Lord has been upon this couple. It's wonderful to watch the growth of a church and to see God's hand upon the ministry as well as the people. And we're seeing it on the lives of Brother and Sister Keyes. And it's wonderful to behold. And let me say, your best days are ahead of you for this church. The best days. I think this church ought to turn Modesto upside down for Jesus Christ. You got the spirit, you got the leadership, and Jesus is still on the throne. There are thousands that are fleeing denominational churches. I talked to the bishop of the Midwestern area of our nation, and he told me that in the last 5 years, the Methodists had lost 1,300,000 people. And then he said, we had a revival last year. We didn't lose any. Now, that don't sound like a Pentecostal preacher talking. Because we talk about what's going to happen. And how it's going to happen. When it's going to happen. And that the Lord is going to pour out his blessing upon us without measure. And it's happening. Not only in our local assemblies, but all over the world. Thank you, Brother Haney, for the kind introduction. I remember when you were 15. The Lord did a wonderful work on you then, praise God, and brought you into this place of official leadership, and I praise God for it. Brother Price, Brother Sister Price, I think they understand. I think they okay. kindly for responding. Sister Urshan has been a great help to me through the years. In fact, if I go places and she's not with me, they said, why don't you go home? Said, we came to see your wife. I understand that. And some of you that laughed, same way with you. She has known Pentecostal songs from way back. How long have you had the Holy Ghost, Sister?
64 years.
64 years. You must have had the Holy Ghost from your mother's womb. She would be at the piano at Calvary Tabernacle. We had a song leader by the name of Kenneth Jordan, and what a man of worship he was. When people would, when Brother Jordan would lead the congregation, people would worship God. And he would worship God. He'd get lost in his worship. But you know, when you walked in the church before service started, he was on his knees in the prayer room, talking to the Lord. And then he'd come out and light that congregation with a great spirit of worship. It was enjoyable to be in it. He knew all the old songs. He knew them from way back. He was an old timer from the standpoint of his Pentecostal experience. He died too young, and Calvary Tabernacle misses this man tremendously. He and Sister Urshan knew all those old songs. Sometimes he'd start one and she'd join in with him. They're the only two that knew the song, because they went way back, way back, way back. Now, some of you young folks don't know some of the old-time songs you used to sing, but I woke up the other morning with a song. Did you ever wake up singing? Try it sometime. Even if you feel bad, you'll feel good. I woke up singing the other morning, an old-time favorite, and I knew within my heart that Sister Urshan didn't know that one. I just knew. So I turned to her and said, do you know this song? And I sang it for her, and she said, never heard that one before. I said, that was before your time. And I was rejoicing in my heart because I knew one she didn't know from way back. We're going to sing this chorus for you. I think you remembered it when I was singing to you tonight, didn't you, Brother Grimes? You did. He's an old timer, too. My grandfather used to sing this on the front seat of the church and lead the song service back to it. That's the way he used to do it. I thought that's the way he was supposed to lead a song service. Learned differently since. He used to sing out of the corner of his mouth. I'm almost tempted to do that, but I'm afraid somebody take a picture. And this is the way that he used to sing this song. Call me, call me, call me. There's a mansion there for me. In glory land, so bright and fair, where the builder's crown I seek to wear. Come and go with me. Oh, I'll be back, you see. If anybody's going to be happy up there, it's me, 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 me. For me, for me, for me. There's a mansion there for me. In glory land, so bright and fair, where the victor's crown I seek to wear. Come and go with me. Oh, you have to be up here to look at an audience. Some of you look like you swallowed a person, and come on, smile. For me, for me, for me. I'll tell you what, I want you to come in with a me, 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 me. Can you do that? I know you can't sing the rest of the song. You haven't learned the words yet, but you can come in with a me, 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 me. For me, for me, for me. There's a man for me. It's rolling as the fire is there. With a victory crown, I sing your way.
of that glory be. Oh, we've got to see. Anybody's going to be happy up there. Me.
Oh, not all of you joined in. Come on.
Come, me. Oh, that's the for me. The glory lands of the bride and bear. Where the victory crown I soon shall wear. Come and go with me. Oh, be back to see. Anybody's going to be happy up there. It's me.
Praise God. God bless you. You may be seated. There was a good brother for years who sang the beautiful songs of Zion. We used to call him the sweet singer of Israel. I don't know if you ever heard Charles Watkins sing. Charles Watkins had anointing upon his life, and especially his singing. When he'd stand up and sing, people would weep. He's the only apostolic singer that's sold a million records. And he sold those records on a song entitled, There's a Song in My Soul. And Childs was 17 when he first came to the church in New York City, met my father, and we had the opportunity of meeting him, young black brother. Soon he brought a quartet. All of that quartet is preaching the gospel. Except Brother Watkins now, he has deceased. He died too young at the age of 61. We miss Charles very much. And have you heard the Winans on the radio? Have you heard the Winans? The Winans are the outcome of his instruction in music. And two of them have been baptized in Jesus' name and filled with the Holy Ghost. He taught them much of their singing, and of course, one of the songs he composed some beautiful hymns. This is the one I love. I'm glad man didn't make me.
I'm glad man didn't make sunshine. For he might forget to let it shine on me. Oh, I'm glad man didn't make raindrops, for he might forget to water the green. I'm glad man didn't give life to me, for he would have surely forsaken me. Teardrops, for he might find joy. entrusted this whole world in my hands, and I promise to see about to me. Oh, he gave me wisdom, and he gave me knowledge, and he gave me eyes.
To stand as we read from the book of John, the 16th chapter. I'm going to read to you several verses, and then, of course, by the help of God and your prayers, that the Lord will help us with an anointing from on high. Somebody ought to receive the Holy Ghost in this place tonight. You know, you don't have to wait for an altar worship. You can throw your hands up in praise, and God can fill you with the Holy Ghost right where you are in this auditorium. Somebody said he's everywhere. He's in this place tonight. And I'm glad for his wonderful presence. In the book of John 16, the Gospel of John, I'm going to read the 7th verse, then I'm dropping down to the 12th, the 13th, and the 14th verses. It reads like this: "Nevertheless, I tell you the truth. It is expedient for you that I go away. For if I go not away, the Comforter will not come unto you. But if I depart, I will send him unto you. And then down to the 12th, 13th, and 14th verses. I have yet many things to say unto you, but ye cannot bear them now. Howbeit, when he, the Spirit of truth, is come, he will guide you into all truth. For he shall not speak of himself, but whatsoever he shall hear, that shall he speak. And he will show you things to come, and he shall glorify me, for he shall receive of mine and shall show it unto you. And by the help of the Lord, I want to speak on three of these things that Jesus told us about the work of the Holy Ghost. How many appreciate the Holy Spirit in your life? And I want to speak on this portion. He shall guide you, or he will guide you into all truth. And then he will show you things to come. And finally, he will glorify me. Praise God. Everybody say, thank God. You may be seated. We are watching with avid interest the tremendous outpouring of the Holy Ghost that's taking place all around the world. A few years ago, a magazine, I won't name it, I don't think they're worthy of being named, they had predicted that the United Pentecostal Church was going to split right down the middle and many folks going to leave the faith. And they did it with glee. There are some folks on the outside of this great truth that don't really understand what we are preaching about because they have allowed tradition and their own hard spirits not to receive what they know is biblically written. Now, when we talk to you about matters of that nature, we are also watching a hungry group of people come into many of our churches to find the power of the Holy Ghost and the truth of the name of Jesus. Sister Ashton and I ministered in a church in Illinois just Sunday night before we came out here on Monday, and they introduced the Methodist preacher of the city, who our pastor had had a Bible lesson with on the truth of receiving the Holy Ghost and also on baptism in the name of the Lord. That man stood in that pulpit that night and electrified that audience. Methodist pastor. He said, I have found what my soul has longed for. I looked at Pastor Bradshaw, and he gave a little background to this man. Once he had been with the FBI, once he had been one of the leaders in denominational circles, and now he was standing and saying, I preach Jesus and him only. And as he said it, those people rejoiced. I watched our people shout. I saw some weep. And then I saw the smile on his face. He said, I haven't smiled like this for years. He said, the Lord puts a smile on your face when he fills you with the Holy Ghost. You believe that? Well, everybody doesn't believe that here tonight, but I saw some that didn't smile. I don't know if you had a fight with your wife or whatever before you came to church. But I do believe when he puts this joy in your soul, there's something special that comes on the outside of your life. And there's a lot of people that want to think that it's all on the inside. We're in Jerusalem at our last gathering in Jerusalem. And one of the Friday nights, the night Friday is the beginning of the Sabbath when the sun sinks in the west and that last ray of the sun slips below the horizon, they sound that horn and the people come to the wailing wall dancing and shouting. If you want to find out where you got your religion from, you need to come down on Sabbath when they come down, the rabbis and everybody holding hands, singing and shouting and praising Jehovah. It's a sight to see. Sister Urshan got her camera up to take a picture, and somebody grabbed her camera and said, "The Sabbath. We don't take pictures on the Sabbath." They hold fast to those beliefs. And while we were there, we met a rabbi who said to us, "You know, I think that you are Christians." My cousin and I were standing by the side of the way when he came up. And when he talked, I said, "And you're from Brooklyn." And he looked at me and said, "How do you know I'm from Brooklyn?" I said, "Your speech betrayeth thee. When you're a Brooklynese or a New Yorkese, you have a strange sound." And he had that sound. So he said, "My goodness, what made you think I was from Brooklyn?" I said, "The way you talk." And he said, "I am." He said, "Would you tell me something? Would you go with me down into the cave underneath David's tomb?" And he took us crawling on hands and knees down in the cave under David's tomb, where David had run from Saul to hide when Saul was trying to kill him. And when we sat down in that little cave, it was very small, and there was four of us. There was another gentleman with him. It was small enough so that the four of us filled it. And they looked at us and asked us, "What was your belief in God?" So when you ask an apostolic that, get ready. It's going to be a lengthy discourse. So we told him all about what we believed in the Lord, how he had come, how he was coming again, and so forth. I said, "What are you going to do if when he comes you find out he is Jesus?" He said, "I'm going to ask him, have you been here before?" And while we were talking to him, he said, "We need you people to stand with us." And so we got to talking about the prophets. We talked about the prophecies of Isaiah, about the prophecies of Jonah, the prophecies of Joel, the prophecies of Jeremiah. We went to John the Baptist. We went to the day of Pentecost. And they were puzzled. They were very puzzled. And we said to them, "Do you understand what we're saying about the prophets?" I said, "No, we don't." I said, "Why don't you understand what we're saying about the prophets?" He said, "We don't study the prophets anymore. We just study the Pentateuch. Only the five books of the Old Testament, which were written, of course, to the Israelites with the history of creation. And because they do not study the prophets, blindness has come to Israel. If they would study the prophets, they would find in the prophecies the greatness of the name of God and his person." When Jesus preached to the disciples prior to his leaving, he taught them from the Old Testament, because there's so much in the Old Testament that speaks about Jesus. For instance, Isaiah says, "And this shall be a sign unto you, a virgin shall conceive and bring forth, and thou shalt call his name Emmanuel." And so when we quoted that, they said, "That is in the Bible?" We said, "Yes." Then we quoted another one that you like and I like. "For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and his name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace." They said, "Is that in the Bible?" I said, "That's in the Bible." And one turned to the other and said, "I think we ought to go back and study the prophets." I said, "I think you ought to, because you'll find out that there is indications all through the Old Testament that Jesus Christ is that Messiah." So we're looking at a picture where the denominational world is under the pressure of not having any fire in the pulpit, and certainly no fire in the pew. And when they go to church, one man said to me like this, I go to church and sit till an hour and a half and get nothing and leave unfulfilled. You don't come in here like that. When you come in here, you get a filling of the presence of the Holy Ghost, and it really does something for your inner man. Well, that night we were sitting in this room. When we sat in this room, they had put the Jewish people in the next room because they were not to mix with the Gentiles. It was Sabbath. It was Friday night. So on one side with a wall between, and by the way, the Lord broke that wall. But with that wall between, there were the Jews, and on this side were the Gentiles. And they said, we're putting the Pentecostals together. I think you remember that night, Brother Lehman. While we were in there, there was a group of people sitting at a big table, and I wondered who they were because they didn't look Pentecostal style. They had all the trappings that Hollywood puts on you to try to make you look good. You know, chemtone, calcimine, the whole bit. They had all the jewelry and everything in the world, and along with that, immodest dress. Well, as Sister Chambers got up and walked by that table, I heard this man, I happened to be behind it a little bit, I heard this man say to her, it's not all on the outside, sister. And I wondered what he was going to say. He said, it's on the inside. It's not all on the outside. He said, you're UPC, aren't you? And she said, yes. And I couldn't help it. I said, well, you know us, but we don't know you. Who are you? I want you to know, we know who they are, and they know who we are. Praise God. And this beautiful work of the Holy Ghost is something that so many people are hungry for, and they don't know where to go to receive it. That's why we need to be preaching on street corners. You know, with this choir, and I just suggest it, Brother Keys, you don't have to do it, but I think I'm going to suggest it. You know, you don't have to do it, but I'm going to make a strong suggestion, but you don't have to do it if you don't want to. I would get a great big truck with a great big bed on it. I'd get this choir out there. I'd get these musicians out there, and I'd go down the streets of Modesto singing and preaching. They did it in Kingston, Jamaica. I'll never forget it. Here comes the choir on a big bed of a big truck singing, and the music was playing, and we were behind in a car. Just watching it because they had it on the radio. Jamaica BC, that is the broadcasting company of Jamaica, was giving it a half hour so that the people could hear the Pentecostals singing as they drove down the streets on the trucks and they were walking. And as they were driving down the streets, people were dancing in the streets by the curbs, and some would get down on their knees and go to praying. The people would jump off the trucks and get down, and they were getting the Holy Ghost in the streets. And there was a shout of victory. It was tremendous to watch because they began to feel what we feel. And the world wants to feel this. They really want to feel it. Because there's no feeling in other parts. They'll go to dope dens to get it. That won't give you what we get here. They go to bars to get it, and that won't get it for you. And then they go to discotheques thinking they'll get it there, and they don't get it there. I'll tell you what, you can only get it. You can only get it in the presence of the Lord. In the presence of the Lord is fullness of joy. And at his right hand, there are what? Pleasures forevermore. So the church can put out on a sign. If you want joy, full joy, come into this place. If you want pleasures that will last forever, come into this place. Because we've got it to give to them while the rest of the tawdry world is dripping with their sins, the perversion, and all that goes along with it. But we have something to give this generation. And as Brother Dross preached last night, I rejoice in my soul. The best is yet to come. It is going to come. And we need to be about the business of advertising it every way we possibly can. Well, we were listening to JBC, and there were phone calls coming into JBC. We didn't hear that, but the man said, phone calls are coming in and saying, don't stop that music and that singing and those folks that are preaching. Don't stop it. Wipe your program clear. That was 2 o'clock in the afternoon. They said, we'll be coming on for 5 minutes at the top of the hour, and the rest of the time we'll be listening to this shebang. Well, they put off everything and put that whole thing on for 4 hours. Because there was something in it, like the announcer said, there's something in that that has a touch that nothing else has. And we're feeling it right up here in this broadcasting studio. We're feeling that touch in this broadcasting studio. The world is looking for this kind of a sound. And they want to hear it. And then we ended up in a park, and that day I think 150 got the Holy Ghost in the park. We don't know how many got it along the way, but they had people taking down names and addresses. And of course, when it was all over with, they had that Sunday over 1,000 more than they ever had in their church history. I'm just making the suggestion, Brother Keyes. If you think this will be big enough when that gets through, you got a guest coming. You have to build another one. Why not? Why not? The world is hungry for this. When Jesus said he had to go away, he had to go away so that the Comforter would come. You can't have one God in two places. You just can't have one God in two places. He had to go away, for he was going to send the Comforter. And when he comes, he'll lead you and guide you into all truth. The Holy Ghost is a revelator. It will open your eyes to things you never understood before if you will let the Holy Ghost work on your life. When Sister Urshan and I were courting, I wrote letters. I'll tell you what, I wrote letters to her that when she read them to me not long ago, I looked at those letters. And I said to her, let me see this. I came in, she was smiling real big, sitting on a settee there. And I walked in, big smile on her face, and she was reading letters. I said, what are you reading? Whatever you're reading, you're enjoying. She said, I'm reading your love letters. She said, sit down there. Let me read you some of your love letters. And man, she began to read them. I couldn't believe that I wrote all that. I just couldn't believe that I wrote all that. Man, I was a dude in those days. And I couldn't believe I wrote it. And so I said, would you hand me a couple of those letters? Let me read them. And when I got them, there were things that she said that were not in there. So I said, what was it that made you put those extra things in? So that I was reading between the lines. And I tell you, when you read this book, friend, there's something between the lines many times we don't see. But when you read it with the power of the Holy Ghost on your life, it comes alive in your soul. There's something special about it because it becomes alive in your life. I was sitting on the plane here not long ago reading the Bible and forgot where I was. Did you ever forget where you were? I do often because we go so many places. I sometimes wake up and wonder where we are. Well, I was sitting on that plane and reading the Bible, and I read something that I had never seen before, and I shouted, praise God! Well, that woke somebody up in the back row. when I hollered, praise God, this little stewardess come walking by. And she kept looking at me. And she'd walk by, and she'd look at me again. And she kept that up about four times. Then she said, was that you that hollered, praise God? I said, guilty. She said, no. Did you holler, praise God? I said, yes. She said, what kind of preacher are you? Well, I said, you may not understand it, but let me tell you, I'm an apostolic, Pentecostal, Holy Ghost, Jesus' name preacher. She stuck her hand across the front of a man that was sitting next to me, and she said, shake, I'm one of them too. Here was a stewardess that was filled with the Holy Ghost, and she wanted to know who it was that said, praise the Lord. She said, I just got through praising the Lord with some of those stewardess up there, and then they heard you holler, praise the Lord. And they said to me, that's probably one of your gang. Oh, yeah. We love to praise the Lord anywhere. Give him a praise. He's worthy of your praise. When the Holy Ghost begins to lead you and guide you into all truth, you cannot resist that leadership. It is a beautiful thing when the Lord God begins to open your eyes to the potential of what you can have through His power and through His grace. And when He does open your eyes to the wonderful blessings that are fulfilled in this book, it's a marvelous thing to begin to understand that you have found the way. And that is a blessing to you because it brings more blessings to you. But there are many people who have received the Holy Ghost that will not be led into all truth. Why will they not be led into all truth? They have been prejudiced by biased preachers who have told them that this God that this Jesus people preach about, there are three persons in the Godhead. And that there are not just one. I want you to know there's one. And I'm going to get on that a little later because I want you to know they are hungry to know. And they will say there are three persons in the Godhead. Sat next to the Catholic priest. I was reading the Bible. He said, what are you reading the Bible for? I said, it's a good book to read. And he looked at me. I said, do you read the Bible? He said, yes. He said, what are you reading about? I said, I'm reading right here where the Holy Ghost overshadowed Mary. And that which was found in Mary was of the Holy Ghost. Oh, said, that's very good. That's very good. So I said, who do you think was the father of Jesus? And he said, well, God the Father. I said, it says the Holy Ghost overshadowed Mary, and that which was found in her was of the Holy Ghost. Who's the Father? Well, he said, the Holy Ghost. I said, right. Oh, he said, you got me mixed up now. I said, no, I haven't got you mixed up at all. You said it right. The Holy Ghost is the Father. God is a spirit. And they that worship Him must worship Him in spirit and truth. But he said, I believe in a Trinity. I said, sorry, friend, there is none. And I said, let me quote one of your writers by the name of Green, who wrote this in 1955. He cited the Protestants because they would not accept what they called the translation of Mary. If you remember, back in the 50s, they were talking about the fact that Mary had been translated into the heavens. And said, now you Protestants don't believe that. Said, but we want you to know, we gave you the Trinity, and that's not in the Bible, and you believe that. Now that Catholic writer said that. And he was telling the truth when he said it, because they have received it. And I also want you to know, if you ever depart this faith where the Holy Ghost has taught you and given you instruction and led you into the truth, and you go back on the truth, you have a very, very little chance of ever coming back. Because that's apostasy. And once you get the truth, you want to hold on to it with all your heart. You want to get a hold of it, because when he comes in the clouds of glory, there's not three coming, there's just one coming. And there's going to be a great shout and a great victory. And we need to let the Holy Ghost guide us, lead us into all truth. Said, is there more truth to know? I don't know that there's more truth to know without what is written in this book, but there's more depth, and there's more understanding, and there's more recognition of what a Holy Ghost person should do. We should love one another. We should not only love one another, we should also speak well of each other. We should not only speak well of each other, but we should glorify the Lord through our experience, because the leadership of the Holy Ghost will lead you into a place of the glorification of Christ. When you were singing tonight, I turned to Brother Price, and you were saying about that. I said, my message has been confirmed, because I want to talk about glorifying Jesus Christ. Let me bring you to another portion of this, and I want to take you to the part where it says, And he shall glorify me. When the Holy Ghost comes into your life, and you get the Holy Ghost, you don't stop and say, you get the Holy Ghost because the Holy Ghost said, when he comes, he shall what? Glorify me. The first thing you say is, thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. And you don't say anything about a Trinity. You just feel the glory of God, and the Holy Ghost glorifies him. I want you to read for me, Brother Lehman, if you will, from the book of Genesis, beginning at the 17th chapter, and the 4th through the 6th verses. And I want you to hear this very carefully. When I ran into this, it thrilled my soul. And there are other things that thrill my soul when I read this book. Listen to Brother Lehman read this. Give him some power there.
As for me,
yes,
my covenant is with thee.
With thee.
And thou shalt be a father of many nations.
Thou shalt be a father of many nations.
Neither shall thy name any more be called Abram.
We're not calling you Abram anymore.
But thy name shall be called Abraham.
Abraham, all right.
For a father of many nations have I made thee.
Have I made thee.
And I will make thee exceeding fruitful. And I will make nations of thee. And kings shall come out of thee.
Shall come out of thee. Here's a man 100 years of age, and the Lord God is saying, I'm going to change your name. You're not going to be Abram anymore. But if you read Abraham in the Hebrew, it's Abraham. He put the half of his creative name on Abram.
My.
He put him on Abram, and he became Abraham. Just one half of his created name. Get it now. One half of his created name. And he said, I'll make you the father of many nations, and I'll make you fruitful.
Yeah.
Stay with it, sister, and you can tell what the Lord will do. And I want you to know, he told him, I'm going to make you a father of many nations. I'm going to make a contract with the seed that comes after you, and I'm going to bless you. And he's 100 years of age. His wife is 90. He has never born a child. And when both of them heard it, they laughed. And Sarah thought she'd help the Lord out. So she put Hagar, the concubine, in with Abram. And what came out, of course, was this man that is now the Ishmaelites, which are the Arabs, and both of them say that Abraham was their father, and both of them declare that he's their father. That's why they are fighting this war together. They believe that land belongs to both of them, and they're fighting for it. But I want you to notice, one half of the name of his created name, just one half of it. Go to Genesis 32 and 27 and 28, and listen to this. And it will help you understand the power of the name of God.
And he said unto him, what is thy name?
What's your name?
And he said, Jacob.
My name is Jacob.
And he said, thy name shall be called no more Jacob.
I'm not going to call you Jacob anymore.
But Israel.
Israel.
For as a prince hast thou power with God.
Power with God.
And with men.
And with men.
And hast prevailed.
And hast prevailed. I'm going to put the other part of my creative name on you. And I'm going to give you power with God. I'm going to make you a prince. And I am going to give you a spirit of prevailing. So he put on his seed the rest of the name Elohim. So when you read Abraham and read Israel, you got Elohim. Now, he got one half of the name. But I got news for you. I got the whole name. I got that whole name. I got the name of Jesus on me. And that takes in Elohim. That takes in El Shaddai. That takes in Jehovah and all of the attributes. Jehovah Rophi, Jehovah Roi, Jehovah Medakistu. Whatever it is, he takes in all of his attributes, and in the name of Jesus is all the fullness of the Godhead dwelling bodily. So when you got Jesus, you got the whole Godhead. How many believe that? You got the whole Godhead. You've got the whole name of God. Everything is bound up in that name. Everybody say, Jesus. That's Jesus. Say Jesus.
Jesus.
Say Jesus. Praise God. Say it again.
Jesus.
That's the name to call on. Go to Isaiah 12. And I want you to listen to this.
Behold, God is my salvation.
Yes.
I will trust.
Yes.
And not be afraid.
Not be afraid.
For the Lord Jehovah.
The Lord Jehovah.
Is my strength.
Is my strength.
And my song.
And my song.
He also,
has become my salvation. Read on.
Therefore, with
joy,
shall you draw water out of the wells
of salvation. I walked into a Hebrew synagogue one day, and I saw this in the English letters. It wasn't in Hebrew writing, or what they call the Sanskrit. It was in English letters, but it was still the Hebrew language. And I kept seeing this Isaiah 12, and I kept coming across that word where salvation is, and it was Yeshua. And I kept looking at Yeshua. So I said to the rabbi, tell me, what does Yeshua mean? He said, salvation. I said, yes, I know that. But I said, if you were going to say Yeshua in English, what would you say? He said, if I told you, you'd tell my friends. I said, no, I won't tell your friends, I'll tell my friends. He said, if I told you what Yeshua was in the English language, you'd herald it all over this city. I said, well, why don't you tell me? He said, I don't want to tell you. I said, please, be kind to me and tell me what that name is in the English language. How would you say Yeshua in English? And he whispered in my ear, Jesus. I said, Yeshua means Jesus? He said, yes, it means Jesus. And he said, now I've given you a secret that you'd probably be telling everybody. I said, yes, you have. I'm going to tell everybody I can possibly find that Yeshua is Jesus. Now, I want you to read it like that, like it says Yeshua in the English language. Read it from the beginning.
Behold,
behold,
God is my Jesus.
Ah. Yeah?
I will trust.
Trust.
And not be afraid.
Not be afraid.
For the Lord Jehovah.
Jehovah.
Is my strength.
Is my strength.
And my song.
And my song.
He also is become my
Jesus. What else does it say?
Therefore, with
joy,
shall you draw water
out of the wells of Jesus. Oh, let's give his name praise here tonight. Behold, God is my Jesus. I will trust and not be afraid. Behold, Jehovah has become my strength and my song. He has also become my Jesus. And with joy shall you draw water out of the wells of Jesus. What do you do when that happens? What happens? What do you do? What does the rest of the chapter say? It says something else about in that day.
And in that day.
In that day.
Shall ye say. Praise the Lord.
Praise the Lord.
Call upon his name.
Declare his doing.
Among the people.
Make mention.
That his name is exalted.
Sing unto the Lord.
For he hath done excellent things.
This is known in all the earth.
Yes. Cry aloud and shout,
thou inhabitant of Zion,
for great
is the Holy One of Israel.
In the midst of thee,
in that day thou shalt say, praise the Lord.
Yes.
And his name shall be exalted among you. I asked my dad one day, where did the praise the Lord come from? He said, the 12th chapter of Isaiah. He said, when we found out who Jesus was, we began to say, praise the Lord.
Yes.
Now, a lot of people have adopted our praise, but they can't really own it until they find out who the Lord God Jehovah is. Because he is Jesus, manifest in the flesh. He's not only manifest in the flesh. I want you to know he manifests himself in our heart by the Holy Ghost. And when we get this message in our heart, and I don't want any of you folks to ever leave this message. I can't believe that some folks that had this message have gone away from it. And someone said to one of our preachers the other day, you can do away with that matter of baptism in Jesus' name. There's no meaning to it. Oh, friend, listen to me. That name is the only name under heaven given amongst men whereby you must be saved. You got to believe in the name of the Lord Jesus if you're going to be saved. If you don't believe on that name, you cannot be saved. You cannot be saved without that name. And that name will bring to you a wealth of the revelation of the person of God. In him dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily, and ye are complete in him who is the head of all principality and power. He's the head of all principality. That's all nations. He's the head of all power. Oh, read for me. It just comes to my mind. The first chapter of Ephesians, the last five verses of Ephesians 1. I want you to hear some more about it.
Uh-huh.
How many love this gospel? Praise God. You want to get hold of it and don't give it up. You love this gospel, sir? I believe you do. That's the first mile I've seen. Give me five. Praise God. I want you to know it's a great thing to have this beautiful truth in your life. Now, read the last five verses of Ephesians 1. Listen.
And what is the exceeding greatness of his power?
Oh, yes.
To us who believe. According to the working of his mighty power.
Which he wrought in Christ.
Which he raised from the dead.
And set him at his own right hand.
In the heavenly places.
Far above all
principality and power,
power
and might,
might
and dominion,
dominion
and
every name
that is a name,
that is named,
not only in this world,
world,
but also
in that world
which is to come.
Read on.
And hath put all things,
put all things under his feet,
and gave him to
be the
head over
all things
to the church, which is his body,
which is his body,
the fullness of him,
the fullness of him
that filleth all
and
all.
I want you to hear, he is the head of all principality, he is the head of all power, he is the head of all might, he is the head of all dominion. Oh, I want to say this. He's the head of all principality. He's the head of all power. He is the head of all might. He is the head of all dominion. And he is everything to the church. And said, everything's under his feet. And if everything is under his feet, and we're his body, if everything is under his feet, and we're his body, Brother Davis, if all things are under his feet, and we're his body, everything is under our feet. And we don't have to fear anybody in this world. The church of the living God, that's named by the name of Jesus, is the most powerful instrument that exists in this world today. You are in the midst of a power-packed people who have power over all principalities, all power, all might, all dominion, and everything is under the feet of the church. You don't have to fear a thing. And we have seen it come to pass. Let me just quickly give you this incident, which I think is one of the most amazing things I've ever heard. One of our women pastors in Nebraska, she's passed away. Sister Tenney. This lady had a school. And of course, if you recall, a few years ago in Nebraska, they closed all Christian schools, or they ordered them closed. Well, they ordered her to close her school. And so many of our preachers, and I will thank God always for the many of our preachers that went there to stand by her. They went there by the hundreds to stand by her. The day they were to give the judgment against these people, she was sitting by my side, and she had testimony that absolutely made her look like a queen. The psychiatrist at the state actually paid to testify in behalf of the state after he went to the school and saw her school. He said, if I lived in this town, I'd send my children to that school. That's what the psychiatrist said from the state. And she was happy. And there was other testimonies, very strong. He sent out a blue ribbon group to examine these schools. And they came back. Instead of condemning them, they said they're better than our public schools. But the governor was bound and determined to close those schools. When he was bound and determined, I was sitting next to her and I said, I'm so sorry. They're going to rule against you. She said, rule against me with all of this testimony on my behalf? I said, yes. This is the first battle, but we're going to win the war. And she looked at me and said, you mean that judge is going to rule against me with all this testimony I've had? I said, yes. He has nothing else but to do, because he is an official of the Nebraska government, and he has to do what the government says. So he pronounced the verdict that she was guilty, and she had to close her school and was fined 150 days every day the school was open. I said to her, keep it open. She said, so who's going to pay the fine? I said, the Lord will help us. Don't worry about it. I've seen the Lord help us on many occasions in that respect. So I said, the Lord will help us. If you don't have it, we'll get it from the brethren. Our brethren will token up. That's what I said about your brethren. I wanted you to know that I had that confidence in you. So when the time came, for her to pay the fine, she said, I can't pay this fine. They said, well, we're demanding you close this school. Well, she had a legislator that was for her in the government, and he'd fight for her before all of the legislators and tell them that this woman had a tremendous school and it had a whole lot more, had a whole lot more order, and there was more of learning that was staying with the children. It was impacting them because there was tremendous order in the school. The President Reagan called one day when the 21 schools were in the governor's office, and he said to the governor, he said, why don't you close up some of those dope dens instead of closing up that Christian school? We didn't know that till after it was over. And they told us that the President Reagan said, close up the dope dens and don't close up something that's good. Well, that got to the governor. Then comes this report from this Blue Ribbon group saying they were better than our schools. Then he went to the governor's conference. You believe God can't work for you behind doors? He went to the governor's conference, and the governors made fun of him. Said, what are you closing up Christian schools for? We need some of that in this country. And they chided him, made fun of him. He went back there and was voted out at the next election. And the man that was voted in was the legislator that had fought for her. And the attorney general that was made attorney general was one of the men who stood by her. And the whole government changed. She didn't have to pay the fine, and she kept her school open. Because God is in the midst of man's rulership, and he has all principalities and all power and all might and all dominion under his feet. Man, I tell you what, I get excited about this. Do you get excited? Do you get excited? Stay excited. We have a message that this world wants so bad, and they don't know it. Have you been baptized in Jesus' name, sir? Have you been baptized in Jesus' name? The name of the Lord Jesus. Speak Spanish. Ask him if he's been baptized in the name of Jesus. You have been? Have you received the Holy Ghost? He got the Holy Ghost. Good for you. Hold on to it. Tell your friends about it. You've been baptized in Jesus' name? Got the Holy Ghost? Good. Can I find a sinner somewhere here? I want you to know that this message is growing and growing and leaping and going forth, and we are watching the results of one of the greatest revivals that the church has ever had. Not only that the church has ever had, but he's going to sweep away all the lies and all of the putrefaction that has filled the hearts of people, and he's going to show us just who this great God is. And I want you to know he can tell you about things to come. When you read this Bible, you'll find out about things to come. What you'll find out in James, the 5th chapter, the 7th and 8th verse, if you'll read that for me, Brother Lehman, please, what you'll find out is that God is going to send a revival in these last days. And for a long time, a lot of our preachers didn't expect that. because for years we got the feeling, when you were a young man, Brother Price, I was a young man, they used to preach like this. Fear not, little flock. It's your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. And we knew we were going to get the kingdom because we were a little flock.
Yeah, right.
That's the way they used to preach to us. Then they used to preach to us, great is the way that leadeth to destruction. And they called it the broad way. Yeah. But they also said that there was a narrow way and few there be that find it. We knew we were in the narrow way because we were so few.
Yeah.
And we got this defensive feeling, this defensive complex, put us in a corner, and we got to thinking that God would not move for us. I got news for you. This is the church of the living God. This is not just another gathering of people. If you're buried in His name, filled with the Holy Ghost, and walking in a holy life, this is the church of the living God. Nobody's going to stop it. Nobody's going to stop it. It's an unstoppable church. And because He's the head of the body, which is the church, everything's under our feet.
Yes.
To the courtroom the other day, it was interesting. The judge whom I knew, he said, "You're apostolic, aren't you?" I said, "Yes, I am." He said, "Pentecostal?" I said, "They go together. An apostolic and a Pentecostal, the same breed. Only one really contends for the name of the Lord, and there are some Pentecostals that don't understand what the name of the Lord really means." I said, "Yes, I'm a Pentecostal." He said, "I want to ask you a question." He said, "Am I going to hell if I don't get baptized in Jesus' name?" Well, I quoted to him Acts 2:38. I said, "Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost." Well, he said, "I haven't been." I said, "You answered your own question." I said, "I don't send people to hell. God does." And it does say, if you don't believe the gospel, he told it to Timothy, if you don't believe the gospel, there is a fiery judgment awaiting you. So I don't put people in hell. I just preach this book. When you preach this book, it gives you the answer to it. And you can find an answer in the fact that our God is able to do a great work amongst us as well as prepare us for a future heaven. Now read what James 5 says.
What verse?
7 and 8.
Be patient, therefore, brethren.
Be patient, therefore, brethren.
Unto the coming of the Lord.
Unto the coming of the Lord.
Behold, the husbandman waiteth.
The husbandman waiteth.
For the precious fruit of the earth.
For the precious fruit of the earth.
And how long, and hath long
patience.
For it.
For it.
Until he receive the early.
Early.
And
the latter rain.
Be ye also patient.
Patient.
Establish your heart.
Establish your heart.
For the coming of the Lord
is nigh. Coming of the Lord is nigh.
Yes.
Be patient. Establish your hearts. The Lord has long patience, waiting for the fruit to be gathered into the garner. And when all that fruit is gathered in, He's coming for His church. And I believe right now, revival that is springing up all over the world is an indication that the coming of the Lord is nigh, and you and I need to get ready for that day. Let me go a little further before I close in this. We were down in Jerusalem, if you remember, in 1980, and we were standing on the Mount of Olives. Brother David Gray was preaching. Was you at that meeting, Brother Price? I'll never forget it as long as I live. Brother David Gray was preaching. Sister Urson had just finished singing that beautiful song on Mount Olive's sacred brow. Jesus spent the night in prayer. And as he sang it, then Brother David Gray began to preach the coming of the Lord. He said, "He's going to come on this mountain. Every eye shall see him." And he said, "When all the eyes shall see him, this mountain is going to split." Well, there's two phases of the coming of the Lord. He's coming secretly, like a thief in the night for his church. Then he's going to come when every eye shall see him. But they're both the second coming of the Lord. He's going to catch his church out of this world. And then he's coming so that every eye shall see him and every knee shall bow and every tongue shall confess that he is Lord to the glory of God the Father. When I got to saying that and got to believing in that, and this judge was standing there listening to me, I said, "Sir, you cannot be in the body of Christ unless you're baptized in the name of Jesus Christ." He said, "When can I be baptized?" I said, "Anytime you say." He said, "You got water handy?" I said, "We'll get it handy." I said, "If we have to put you in the bathtub in one of these courtrooms, we'll put you in the bathtub. It doesn't matter where you baptize them, just so they go down in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ." He's a big man. He said, "I'm a big man. How could you get me in the bathtub?" I said, "I'd put you on your knees and just put you back into the water, and you'll come up, and when you come up, believing in the name of Jesus, all your sins are remitted. They are thrust behind his back into the sea, never to be remembered no more." What a message. What a message. And this world is just hungry for it. And so he said, "Could you arrange to come and speak to the criminal judges of this court?" I said, "Tell me when. I'll actually postpone my engagements, and I'll come. If you can preach to judges, you want to preach to judges." And so after we preached to the judges, another man's son said, "Would you preach to the members of the House?" I said, "You mean the United States Congress?" "Yes, yes. Would you do that?" I said, "Gladly." I will never forget that day. They asked me to pray for the meeting that day, and I prayed in Jesus' name. And they said, "Nobody's ever mentioned that name before in their prayers." I said, "Why?" "They're afraid to offend somebody." I said, "Did I offend anybody?" And Mr. Ford said, "No, no, you made us all happy." And that day, we baptized the chaplain in the name of Jesus. They fired him the next week. And that day, we baptized a man that was congressman from Indianapolis in the name of Jesus, and he got the Holy Ghost when we baptized him. I took in Brother Pugh and Brother Dan Butler one day to meet him. They wanted a little help with the prisons, and I took them in to meet him. And when I took them in to meet him, as we entered the door, I didn't tell Brother Pugh, Brother Dan Butler, anything about him. When we walked in the door, he said, "Praise the Lord!" They looked at me, startled. He said, I need another dose of the Holy Ghost." And then they looked at me again. "Said, what's he talking about?" I said, "He's been baptized in Jesus' name and filled with the Holy Ghost. He's still in Congress. And he's one of those men that fight against all this evil about gays, etc." And just today, or yesterday, the Supreme Court okayed a situation that had to do with the gays. We are headed in the direction of Sodom and Gomorrah. And he'll have to apologize to Sodom and Gomorrah if he doesn't bring justice on this age. But you and I are living in that day. The Lord is coming. We're living in an hour when men have actually taken God's name and they have blemished it with their horrible expression of words. I heard a song sung the other day that actually downed Jesus as much as it could. And I have heard Hollywood call him a bastard. He was born out of wedlock. I've heard them call him that. I've heard them say that he went to the Bethany, the home of Martha, Mary, and of the man Lazarus that he raised from the dead, and he had affairs with Martha and Mary, and an affair with Lazarus. Hollywood has said that. I want you to know something. They can't tear him down. They can't tear him down. Nobody can tear him down. You can't tear him down. I can't tear him down. If you can't tear him down, let's lift him up. Oh, let's stand and give praise to the name of the Lord. Let's give real praise to the name of the Lord. Let's give honor unto the name of the Lord. He is a great and a mighty God. He is our Savior. He's our soon coming King. He's Lord of Lords. He's King of Kings, Lily of the Valley, Bright and Morning Star. Oh, how I love him. Do you know that chorus that's in F? Oh, how I love him, how I adore him. Oh, how I love him. How I adore him. My breath, my sunshine. Reluctance, flesh and blood, his substance. He took the form of man, revealed the hidden plan. Oh, glorious mystery, sacrifice of Calvary. And now I know thou art the great I am. What condescension, bringing us redemption, when in the dead of night, not one faint hope in sight, God gracious, tender, laid aside his splendor, stooping to woo, to win, to save my soul. Oh, how